How do you lead when the vision is huge but the resources are few? Well, if you're a church leader facing that exact challenge, you need to hear this episode. Our guest, Larry Onan, dives deep into navigating the gap between vision and reality, next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Welcome, folks, to another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson, and this is episode number 477, as far as we know. I always say that because we were doing these well over 10 years, and we were doing them live before we were on Apple, and so we kind of go by the Apple podcast count. But episode 477, for those of you keeping score at home. And as I said, my name is Phil Thompson. Steve Lacy is not here today. He's on vacation, so good for him. I'm going to try to get out of here at the end of the month, but he's gone for about a week or so. So you got me, but we have a great guest today, which I will introduce in just a moment or so. But before I do that, let me promote, guess what? Our webinar. We have another webinar coming up. And if you are new to us, we're a company that does streaming video primarily. We do some other things. We've been working with churches since 2001. And we generally have become a resource over the years to help churches with tech, but not just tech, but ministry related things. Well, we'll get to it here in a little bit. But the webinar coming up is something you might be interested in if you do streaming video, and pretty much everybody does. The webinar is called From Chaos to Clarity, Failure-Proof Your Stream. I don't know if we can guarantee failure-proof, but we can hopefully guarantee a little more clarity instead of chaos. And as if anybody does streaming video for your churches out there, you know that sometimes Sunday morning can be chaotic, and especially if something goes wrong, then it really becomes chaotic. So we've got some tips for this webinar. It's going to be about a half hour long, maybe a little longer, and it's really about streamlining your stuff, your cameras, your microphones, your software, some tricks, so to speak, to help organize your setup and avoid some disasters possibly. And some simple ways to train your volunteers. So we'll get to all that in the webinar. It's a free webinar, and it happens June 24th at 12 noon Eastern time. And so sign up at webinar.streamingchurch.tv. It's free, and if you can't make it, sign up anyhow, because you'll get a recorded copy of the webinar. So hopefully you can make it, because we will have some live Q&A. Probably as soon as we're kind of done presenting the content, maybe even during the content, I don't know. So it's a live webinar, so you can interact with us and all that stuff. So from chaos to clarity, failure-proof your stream, and you can sign up again at webinar.streamingchurch.tv. All right, it's June 24th, so make a note of it. All right, so today's guest is a passionate advocate for biblical stewardship, with over five, count them, five decades of experience in ministry and consulting. He served on the staff of Campus Crusade for Christ for over 18 years, and dedicated 13 years of those to developing fund development initiatives, and raised over $150 million for worldwide ministry. And he does speaking, writing, consulting. He inspires and equips people to live as faithful stewards, experiencing the joy and abundance that comes from aligning your life with God's purposes. And his latest book, it's called Intentional Living and Giving, shows a radically and even a different path, maybe, of one that's really more of a selfless stewardship and joyful giving. It really will help readers discover how aligning their resources with God's plan will bring greater fulfillment and joy, and make a difference not only in your own life, but in the difference of other people's lives. So without further ado, let's welcome Larry W. Onan to the Church Solutions Podcast. Larry, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Phil. Thanks a lot for the invitation to join you today. I'm glad to chat with you.
Well, yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you and chat with you. You're out there in Southern California, so we didn't have to struggle too much with a time difference, although we kind of did because I got confused. But so, Larry, I'm going to call you Larry if that's okay.
Absolutely.
You've been in ministry for a long time, and I thought what we would talk about today would be stewardship, but I want to kind of approach it maybe from a little different angle. I was in ministry for a long time. I retired from pastoral stuff. I was bivocational the last several years, and in the end of 2020, with us doing streaming video here, it just got really busy, and so it was a good time for me to resign as an executive pastor of a church I was a part of. So I have been working with churches like you for a long time, but I was primarily in a role of executive pastor in many of those situations, and actually senior pastor for 8 years. So resources and stewardship and all that stuff, I'm pretty familiar with some of that. I didn't handle the amount of money that you have, but did handle some. So I'm going to throw some questions out to you, and you have a website called LarryOnan.com, LarryOnan.com. And I noticed there was an article on there recently. You got a lot of good content on there. When vision outgrows resources, faith in the gap. And so I was looking at that article, and I thought, well, I'm going to ask a couple of questions, maybe a little bit of a different twist to it. Is that okay?
That's fine. Fire away. I'm always interested.
Okay. Well, may not be different. Maybe just in my head. So yeah. I worked with a lot of leaders myself, and there's a lot of emphasis on the people, you know, teaching people to be stewards and being good stewards of their resources and giving and you know, catching the vision and all that stuff is so important for ministry. But also what's important is, I think, for leaders to be held accountable for the way they handle the resources. And so I guess what I want to ask you right off is, in my opinion, leaders need to be held accountable. How do you suggest you hold leaders accountable? And this question comes not to put leaders down, but to protect them, because we have a lot of pastors listening to this podcast. And the last thing, you know, I hate it when there's a problem. You know, when something happens and there's some scandal or something in the church. So this is more of a question to help protect leaders. But what do you suggest when it comes to how to handle accountability for those in leadership when it comes to handling the resources that come to them?
Well, you know, I think many times pastors think that once the money comes in, or even probably elders, other groups of leadership, whatever your governance style at the church is, that the money comes from the people and now it belongs to the church. I mean, that's the mindset is you gave it away and now it's ours, so we can go do what we want to do. The stewardship never changes. First of all, you got to realize that God owns it all in the first place. So it wasn't the stewards, and it's sure not the churches. I think it makes a big difference when you realize that you're holding God's resources in your hand. So the mindset is not, it's mine, I can do what I want to do. It really is, this is the Lord's to begin with, and I need to steward it just like the steward did that gave the money. Many churches see that the offering is a way to extract money from the people to pay the bills. That's a wrong mindset, because there's no extraction going on here. This is where, in fact, I think stewardship is often mistaught, because it's get a hold of the people, manipulate them to do something. We have stewardship Sundays where a pastor preaches for 2 or 3 weeks on the subject. And then everybody starts to see, once the money is in the account of the church, that it's ours to do what we want to do with. I think if you change your mindset is, I'm handling God's resources, and they just moved it from one account to another, and it's still God's money. It's not your money to play with. Now, you got to be wise in your management, where it goes. I think there's accountability that needs to be transparent. I am not for secret accounts and hidden sources. And I think a lot of churches have built some of those around them where they can kind of do something on the side that nobody knows about. But the minute you start hiding is when you start playing games with the Satan's plan, not God's plan. Because God says, I'm entrusting you as a steward. I'm asking you to be generous in many ways. There's 100 things to give besides money. So it's not that we're stuck on just money, but money, I think it's very interesting. The book of Deuteronomy, God tells the children of Israel, I don't need your money. I just want you to learn to keep me first in all things. So when you realize that you are dealing with something that was never really given to you, but entrusted to you, now it's going to make a difference. And I think the game is, well, this is our money. Now we can do what we want to do. I think you better step back and realize it's not your money, even though it's been transferred to your account. There's a mindset. Okay.
You're breaking up there a little bit, but one of the things you said was you're against secret accounts.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause you're breaking up. Now, a little bit.
I don't believe you have to go on the internet and put all your accounts out there either. I mean, there's a prudency, a need to know for the right kind of people, but this idea of we've got accounts. So over here to do X, I think in banking and so forth, in my church I attend, we've got 3 long-term legacy accounts. You know, one that we can get to for 6 months out where we've got to go repair an air conditioner and we need to pull money back out. There's a longer term account that says this money is for longer term strategic things. What I do not encourage is for churches to set up what I call foundations where the money is reserved in that foundation account forever. Now, most of your congregation doesn't even know those kind of things exist. I know of a church here in Southern California that went bankrupt with $2 million in a reserved endowment account because they could not get to the principal of the money. They could only get to the assets over and above the money, and that wasn't sustaining the church. And I know personally, I know the guy that manages that account 10 years after the church closed because the account is still there and still working, but it was set up in a way where you could never get to the principal. That's bad stewardship as well because you cannot dissolve that process. So I think you've got to get prudent people to think money. And ironically, and I've been around the church for 50, 60 years and probably longer than that if you count my preacher's kid days. But it seems like the people that have got numbers as their game are often in charge of money. And sometimes they're spiritually immature to handle that job.
So yeah, let's jump on that for a minute. Yeah, I didn't interrupt you, but I have seen that a lot over the years that there was a church here in town, a local church here in town that was really a lot of things were going on in the 70s with it. And then they started to prosper, you know, and then they put these business guys in charge, these Christian business guys in charge. And man, it went south in a hurry. And that happens quite a bit, doesn't it?
It does happen because what you're doing is you're looking for expertise, but you're not looking for their spiritual maturity along with it. And spiritual maturity along of managing stewardship is absolutely critical. I mean, especially in the money side of it, managing another stewardship, how to use people right, how to use volunteers right, that's stewardship too. But in the area of money, sometimes we put CPAs or people with extreme experience in that area, and they really are not ready to lead a Bible study, let alone be managing the resources, because they're viewing money as something, it's a commodity that they can play with. They can make money, lose money, and they are not spiritually, the discernment's not there. And I've seen churches collapse over the wrong people managing money, because even the pastor and the leaders sometimes lose their control of doing the wise things because you've got accountants and CPAs. And I'm not against any of those trades. I mean, they're good people. But when they are not spiritually mature to realize that they're dealing with God's money in the first place, not theirs, or not, you know, we can't manipulate that money and put it in wrong places. I'm dealing with one group that we're setting up an endowment structure for them. It's not a formal endowment, but it does that kind of a thing. And the key thing I want them to realize is they've got to be making sure that even in that kind of an account, the money is not going to things that are not in compliance with what they believe in as a group. Because the money can go to things that you'd be totally embarrassed about to make money, and that is bad stewardship too. So A steward is one who is managing the affairs of somebody else. If we got to come back to the core conviction of what steward is. My dad was a preacher. He didn't like preaching about money because he didn't like talking about money in church. He felt like for some reason back in the 40s and 50s, we just tried to avoid the subject. Well, when you avoid the subject, you are also creating ignorant people in terms of knowing what to do with their resources. And I always thought, I was 29, 30 years of age, and I thought stewardship meant 10% of my money going to the church or going to the Christian cause. I just equated it that way. And almost everything I read and studied back in those days was get the money flowing from the people. So stewardship equaled money. What I discovered in the study I had to go through, and there's a whole little history of that, I discovered, man, this has really very little to do about money. In the book, Intentional Living and Giving, there's one chapter, probably 16 or 17, in the back of the book that says, you were expecting a chapter on money, so here's your chapter on money. That's the only time I bring up the subject of money, because stewardship is not about money. It's about managing the affairs of somebody else. That's all it's about. And if you get that mindset in your mind, you create lifestyle stewardship. Because now I'm managing his affairs. He wants me to act like him. Scripture says, let's make man in our image. God is a giver. Part of what our image is to replicate what God does. He gives. He wants us to be a giver. So he wants us to be generous. He also wants us to ask. That's a third element of this whole principle. And the asking is not only asking of him, but asking of others. A while back, I spoke at a men's breakfast. And there was about 40 men there. They had a good time. They dismissed at the end of my little talk with them. And everybody left the room and walked out the door to go do something else. That would be very typical. It was time for it to be over. Two people were responsible for cleaning up the mess, bussing the tables, picking up after themselves and all that. Ironically, if they had said at the very end, before you leave, could you help us bust the tables, clean up, put the things where they belong, and in 5 minutes, we can all be out of here. Probably 80% of the men in that meeting would have stayed around if they knew and felt like they were asked to help. So God wants us to be asking him. That's prayer. He already knows what we need, but he wants us to be conversing with him, and he wants us to be asking others. So asking is a very key part of that. Another element of stewardship is understanding the law of the harvest. A farmer cultivates and prepares land before he ever plants, and then he stays with it to the time of the harvest, and it's always 6 to 9 months after the harvest is planted. So it takes a while for that harvest to come. To speak on, say, stewardship for 3 weeks in a year at a church, you're not preparing the people. You're just asking them to give harvest, and you never helping them understand the cultivation process of the harvest. So there's a lot of ignorance. And so what do people do when that pitch comes? They hold on to their wallets more tightly because they don't want to give up something, because you never equipped them as a disciple in how to handle their resources, their time, their talent, their treasure, anything that goes on in life. And of course, I like the best part of this whole principle is once God sees that he can trust me, as a steward, he has an abundant supply to give to me, but he's not going to waste it. You know, if I had a cup of coffee in front of me right now, I could say, let's fill it to the brim. Well, that would be the prudent thing to do, but don't fill it over the brim, because now you start to waste it. God has an abundant supply for his kids, but if we're not good stewards, he's not going to be giving us more than we can handle and wasting what he wants us to have. So he will give it to us as we are learning to be faithful in our stewardship. And it's not a game of God owes it to me. He doesn't owe me anything, but he wants me to enjoy and work as a steward and enjoy the pleasure of what he's got for me. So it's a process. And I think a lot of times churches get it down to thinking stewardship is money. Therefore, we've got to figure out how to get more money from the people. And it can come in all kinds of forms. There's capital campaigns. There's things that you do need to do, and it does take money to run. But if you don't have maturity at the helm of thinking about how to utilize that stewardship, you could have some real messes. I've seen more messes of bad stewardship than I've seen good examples.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. One of the things that I found when I was in ministry was if we taught at least once a year a course on stewardship, and again, it wasn't just about money, but it was about handling your resources as people. I found that to be a real important thing, as you were just saying a little bit earlier about, you know, nobody teaches about stewardship, you know, so it's all about giving, but it's more than giving. So I found
the church is really blessed today, Phil, with some good products. You know, you can go to Compass, you can go to Crown, you can go to Peace University. There are places where they're helping you manage money. And when I started doing this, those organizations did not exist. They're new on the scene since then. And so from a money management side, you can plug people in. But a couple of those courses focus on the holistic nature of stewardship. And to many of them, if you've been around those before, you think, well, that's been around for a long time, especially if you're in a pastoral leadership role. I'll tell you, when we started doing this, there was nothing like those three entities in existence. It was a wing and a prayer that kept everybody alive all the time. I think even Peace University now has it online completely, so a person can go online and learn how to manage his money. But learning managing of money is simply a tactic and a technique to get more money out of your money. You may not understand stewardship if you're learning how to manage money right. And I want people to manage money correctly. I taught those kind of courses for over a decade, probably had 150, 200 people come through my wife's and my home learning how to do those things in 10 or 12 weeks. I'm a real champion of that, but that is not the end of stewardship. That's only the beginning and learning how to deal with one commodity called money.
Yeah. Crown, I remember Crown Management or whatever it was. Who was the guy that was?
Well, Larry Burkett started. There's a couple of people. Larry Burkett was a friend of mine years ago. He was really into that kind of stewardship. He started Christian Financial Concepts. Eventually, a guy out of Florida, and he joined Venture, and that became Crown. Then the Compass came out of that, which is both around today. And then Dave Ramsey started Peace University around how you manage money effectively. And it's a very broad scale, so you can get Peace University. Those are great tools, but those are not dealing with the spiritual dynamic unless you're very intentional to make sure that they're getting that along with the techniques. Techniques are fine. I'm all for techniques, but I want to get the techniques after I get the foundation laid. You know, what good is a roof on a house if there's no foundation?
That's a very good point. So one of the things I have found over the years, too, is that a lot of pastors are not really very good at handling their own resources. I mean, their own personal resources. Have you found that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. They get a theological degree, but they never learn to get basic math out of the way. They don't know how to do a few of the little spreadsheet things and making judgment calls. And it is very hard for a pastor to lead if he's poor in a subject. If he's being a lousy steward, he's not going to help his people become good stewards.
So what do you suggest?
What's that?
Not to cut you off, but what do you suggest? So we have pastors and leaders listening to this podcast, and maybe there's somebody listening going, I'm not very good. I am not good at handling my money. What do you suggest for a leader right now? How can they get on track so they can help lead other people?
I've had pastors say to me, well, I just don't like to talk about money and I'm not really good at managing it. I'm thinking, okay, you've just now told me you do not understand stewardship. That's what you first declared to me, because you've now equated that down to the dollar sign. And if you are not managing your family, you're not managing your time, you're not managing your money, the principles, you may want a spreadsheet for money, but the stewardship principles spill over all of these particular disciplines. And I would say if you're not good at managing money, you've also declared you're not good at managing your time. You don't know how to make your priorities. You don't know how to focus on the the subject that why you want to go. You don't have vision. You don't have goals. You don't have objectives. You told me a lot when you say I'm not good at managing money, because you've declared I'm a lousy steward. That's what you really had declared. And, right. You know, that's, you know, the reason I put together even the book was to help leaders. And it started off, ironically, it started in Northern Ireland. I was there about 3 years ago with a good group of guys and gals that were all Europeans. I was the only American there. I was kind of the grandfather of what they do. They would jokingly say the great grandfather's coming over to see us. And I liked them all, but they were 20s and 30 somethings. And here I'm in the 80s now. And one of the guys from Romania commented, you know, we can't find anything in our culture that teaches people holistic biblical stewardship. It's really hard to find, and we need something that we can make practical for our people. And I didn't volunteer that day, but I thought, you know, Larry, you've been sitting on this archive for ages. You've taught it. You've done it. You created a lot of the concepts with a really good team of guys back in the late 70s, early 80s. You need to refresh that and get it back out for a new generation. So I left Northern Ireland thinking I've got to come back and do something that I never thought I would probably do before, and that's do one more book. And I dove into it because I wanted to get something practical for the Z generation, especially the younger generation coming in. They are coming in as pastors. I had a leader of a Christian network, church network the other day. He said, Larry, I went to seminary. He told me where he went. He said, I've been in ministry for 25 years, and anything I've learned about stewardship had nothing to do with seminary education, nothing to do with my preparation for ministry. In fact, they ignored the subject. So I can't even read a spreadsheet well when the guys look at it in our board meeting minutes. I am inequipped to do what I need to do to teach the people. We need to help pastors become good in understanding the holistic stewardship, lifestyle stewardship. And I think that, you know, to me, that's a critical growth of the church. The church is stuck many times on the inadequacy of funding, and they don't realize that it's inadequate, not because people won't give, but because you have not equipped them to understand the role they have in giving. And yeah, you would get more volunteers, you'd get more everything if you were just teaching holistic stewardship.
Yeah. So I'm a pastor listening to this, let's say, and I'm like, yep, my life is a disaster when it comes to resources. What are two things? We're running out of time here on the podcast, but what are two things as a pastor listening to this and going, yep, that's me, I've got to get my act together. What are two things that they can do to start on the right road?
Well, the first one is, can I use the word repent?
Okay.
I think a person's got to come to God and say, God, I've been a lousy teacher of this subject, and I need to get this down so I can help myself, and I can help parishioners, I can help my church. If I don't get it down and begin to believe in it, then I'm never going to be a promotion person of it. So I think many times, in fact, I saw this happen even when I was doing Crown and Compass. If the pastor was not enthused about the subject, it was almost impossible to get it off the ground. When a pastor was wanting it to happen, my pastor and I went through a 12-week study together 30 years ago. He says, if I don't do this myself and experience what we're talking about, I will not be able to help other people do it. So there's a repenting, and in there saying, I need to take a fresh look at what stewardship is. Now, I will tell you that intentional living and giving is a good handbook for them to start. Intentional living and giving on the website actually has a 10-week small group study around the content of the book. And it's not about how to do budgeting. It's not into the other realms. I don't like to replicate what somebody else is doing really well. But if the pastor, I've just seen it even in a recent situation where a pastor has kind of given it lip service, but not really into it, it will never fly in that church until he says, this is really important to every one of us. And I want everybody in the next year or two to go through this course or get this book. I'm going to preach on what the book's about. I'm not saying preach about what Larry Onan said, but if you get the principles, they're all biblical. It's connecting five principles together, because any one principle can be manipulated to be deception. And I have a whole chapter on deception, because our church is full of deceptive theology all over the place. And most of the time it's there to benefit somebody else. If I teach this theology, my church is going to grow and I get bigger numbers. I'm going to get more money for my thing. Everything is about the deception side. And I want the parishioner to be able to evaluate deception and see it happen live before him, whether it's on television or a radio or a podcast or in front of the church. The people, the stewards, can actually figure out deception themselves. So there's principles to look at that. So I'm really wanting to say, repent, get your act together, and then start helping people get into the thing that will probably transform their life the most of anything. This is transformation on steroids. And that's why I put it together, so that I can help anybody in any church. And as the pastors that are probably listening, they are the kingpin, the hinge that's going to make that happen in their church or not. If they do not get behind it, they will not. It will not happen. You will end up being mediocrity will be all over the place. And that's not what your church should be. It shouldn't be struggling and for survival. It should be thriving. And that doesn't mean big and multi-sites and everything that comes with it. It means we can thrive and be ministering in our community with an abundance of resources if we think the right way about what resources are.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all right, so I'm the book really is intentional. Yeah, well, this is awesome. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but the book is Intentional Living and Giving, and it's Larry Onan, apostrophe N-A-N, and you can go to, I got your website down here. Oh, yeah, here it is, LarryOnan.com, LarryOnan.com. And this guy is just a load of resources. I'm speaking to our listeners right now. If you go there, you're going to see a lot of resources. And not just the book here, he's written other books as well, but a lot of great resources that can help you as a leader, but also you as a leader lead your people. And as Larry was just saying, become more than just a mediocrity, more than just a mediocre church, but become a church that's effective.
Well, you know, anybody can go on to Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, go in for Intentional Living and Giving, you'll find it. Unless you need a signed copy, and that's what I do, sign the copies I send out from my website. But the rest of them, you can get at any place in the world if you just go into the right sources where books are at.
All right.
It will transform your thinking, and it will transform your people when you get them into it.
Well, absolutely. Well, you're a tremendous guest today, Larry. We sure appreciate your time today.
I'm glad to be a part of it, Phil. Thank you for the invite today.
All right. Well, hang around for a moment. Folks, thank you for spending some time with us today. And don't forget to sign up for our webinar, From Chaos to Clarity. Just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And speaking of our podcast here, Church Solutions Podcast, if you haven't subscribed to us yet, what are you waiting for? We've got a lot of podcasts from the past and a lot of great stuff coming up in the future. It'd be a great resource for you and your church. And you can subscribe anywhere you get your podcast. Just look for Church Solutions Podcast. Give us a rating if you would be so kind. All right, so we are done here. Larry, stay on the line here for just a moment or so. Folks, if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can just reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv. That's one of our companies. And we'll be happy to chat with you and talk with you and help you, not only if you want to get pointed in the right direction with Larry's books, but also with other stuff that we have as well. So until then, please take care of yourself and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast.